Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet lover who has a heart for helping others, pets and people included. I will tell you all about her and introduce you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors. Hi, I'm Isabel Alvarez-Arada, the host of Covered in Pet Hair. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you could give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With Spay and Neuter. Spaying and neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Rada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet parent, a professional dog walker, and professional pet sitter. She's an entrepreneur, an adventure seeker, a road tripper, and a foodie. She's a tea drinker that was born and raised in South Dakota, where she currently resides. She is wife to Austin, dog mom to Crosby, and two beagles that she refers to as the Harry Potter beagles, Fox and Newt. She shares her life with a Russian tortoise named Melvin and has three fish tanks, one of which she refers to as ginormous, and I just learned is 400 gallons in her basement. OMG. Mm-hmm. She is the founder of the Lucky Pup Adventures pet sitting service, and she is also the brains and heart behind Memory Flame, and she is the host of the Lucky Pup podcast. She is Morgan Weber. Welcome, Morgan. It's so great to see you again.
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Isabel. It's there's a lot of stuff going on in my life, as you have mentioned. Yes. So I am super excited to get to chat about all of the things with you today.
Oh my goodness. I don't know how you keep up with all of these brands and names, but we're going to dig into all that. Yes. But before we do, I want to introduce our drinking game today. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game, anytime you hear this word,
the secret word is lucky.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying, non-alcoholic, alcoholic beverage, whatever it is. Just make sure you don't drink and drive, always drink responsibly, and be 21 or over in the U.S. or of age, wherever you're joining us from. Nobody wants to get in trouble on this early in the year. We're just getting started and summer's not even here yet. Don't push it. Don't risk it. Play by the rules. I know, Morgan, you're a rule follower, but today are you having an alcoholic beverage with me, or are you having something little lighter?
No, I'm in my office, and so I had to bring my plastic cup in with me today. But one of my favorites, my one favorite drink is called a Big Ginger, which is ginger ale and bourbon. And I'm mixing it up a little bit because I had a drink the other day that was bourbon and limoncello, which was amazing. And so this is my kind of a faux limoncello, which was a lemon soda that tastes very much like limoncello, but with bourbon in it. And it is so good. So it's like lemony and kind of sweet. Yeah, you'll have to give
that
it a try sometime.
Really good. So I'm actually having a mango clementine cooler, ooh, which is made with vodka, and this delicious hydration drink. I don't know if you've tried them.
Ooh,
they
I
sell
have
them
not.
At Sprouts. It's called Roar. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be naturally flavored vitamin enhanced beverage. I just like the flavor of it. I'm not really drinking it for the vitamins, and it's really good with vodka. So cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for being on the show.
I'm so excited to be here. And this drink is delicious. That doesn't hurt at all.
Exactly. There's nothing like having a little libation over Zoom with a friend. I mean, it's like, I can't go to South Dakota. I don't know that I'll ever step foot in South Dakota. I'm going to be honest.
You know, you might have to make a road trip. It's only cold in the wintertime.
Okay.
It gets very hot and humid in the summertime. So you just got to plan accordingly. You just got to come at the right time of year.
Okay. All right. I'll take you up on that. Maybe. All right. So the way I always introduce this show is with a game, and today is no different. We're going to talk about something that you're very passionate about, which is fostering. Fostering saves lives, people, but not a lot of people are doing it, including myself. I used to foster, kind of fallen off of that, I guess, wagon, because I feel like with little kids, it might be a little more difficult. But we're going to dig into a few of the things that people might ask when getting interested in fostering. So this game is called Fostering FAQs. And if you're game, I'd like to just get your opinion based on years of fostering on what people might learn from your experience fostering. Are you ready to play?
I am so ready. I love this topic.
Okay. So what is the biggest myth you've heard surrounding fostering?
That if I get attached, I shouldn't do fostering. I think that's the biggest myth. People say, I can't be a foster because I would get too attached. And I say, that is why we need you to be a foster, is because you do get attached.
Okay, so yes. That leads me to the next question. What is the hardest thing about fostering?
Definitely letting them go, which it's hard because you want them. I don't have kids, but I like to think of it as somebody who is maybe letting their kid go off to college or go off into the big world. And just because their adventures are not your everyday adventures anymore doesn't mean it's not worth it. So absolutely, it is so hard to let them go, but to know that you've given them a great chance at a new life is priceless.
Absolutely. How about the best thing? What's the best thing about it?
I think the best thing, one of the best things, is if you don't have a pet yet, or maybe you're thinking about getting a new pet, is you almost get to test drive different personality types. So you get to try different maybe animal breeds that you wouldn't otherwise, or you get to kind of get a little taste of what having a certain kind of dog or cat is going to be like before you make that big lifetime commitment.
Is it expensive?
Depends on your rescue, but usually no. Most rescues provide all medical supplies, all food, and so you just got to provide the love.
Are you stuck with your foster even if you have plans to go on vacation?
That's a great question. So a lot of rescues, I will say, make arrangements for you. So they'll have another foster family in the rescue that you can drop your pet off with. Or like when I foster, I've got a pet sitting company. So my pet sitting team takes care of my foster pets while I'm out of town. They just stay at home. But most, I would say almost every rescue I've ever talked with, they have other fosters available to take those dogs. So you don't have to worry about that.
Perfect. And the last question I have is, how many of your pets were foster fails?
I would say two. Mm-hmm. Just two. I will say the one of the two wasn't really a foster. That was our Olive. So she was our memory flame inspiration. And she wasn't through any program, but she did end up staying with us. So we'll call it two to be fair. And I think we fostered about 15 animals, 15 or 16. So I'd say that's pretty good odds. That's not bad.
Very good percentage. That's a low percentage. Not that it's a bad thing. Foster fail, for those who aren't familiar with the term, is when you foster and you fail because you don't let them go. You keep them forever. And that's not a bad thing.
No.
It's a bad thing if you can't take care of all the pets you want to take in.
Yes.
But that usually is just an exception. A lot of people just don't, they only want a pet temporarily. I fostered a puppy that was so high energy. He made me crazy. I'm not gonna lie. He made me crazy. I was single. I was busy. I was working. And he was so high energy and so just like intense that I was happy to see him go. Yes. I was a temporary foster because I was always the kind of the backup when people went on vacations. They were like, hey, can you take him for a week, for 2 weeks, whatever? And I'd be happy to do that. And when his time, I think it was a week, was over, I can't remember his name. He was this tiny little sweet little, it was wonderful, sweet thing, but just like bouncing off the walls energy. And when his time was up, I drove him to wherever it is he was going to next. And I was so relieved when I drove away. But then in some cases, people are like, oh my God, this pet has just like completed our family. And I don't want to see them go to another family because maybe my existing pets have fallen in love with it, or my children are really attached now. And it just kind of, he or she has the best energy for our family or lifestyle, whatever it is. So foster failing can be really good most of the time. And it's not frowned upon, even though it sounds like it because of the foster fail terminology.
Yes. Yeah. Fail is in quotes, quote unquote.
Exactly. Yes. Foster fail. Maybe you failed, but the pet won for sure.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me, how long have you been fostering?
So we started fostering when we moved to our current city. And so that was in 2014. And so we've been kind of fostering on and off. I'd say our first stint was about 5 years. So we fostered for our local pit rescue for 5 years. And then we brought little Olive home and she needed our attention. So she got our attention for the next couple of years. And then we were just ready to take a little bit of a break. And then we started up again this last summer. So this last summer we had a foster for the first time in several years. And he was only with us for about a month before he found his forever home. And so, yeah, so we'll say like 6 years or so in total over like the last 10 years.
So why do you think people are reluctant to foster? What do you think is like the main reason that people are like, I mean, I'll just get a pet. Like if I'm ready for a pet, I'll just get a pet.
Yeah, I think what I've heard from a lot of folks is that, again, that fear of, oh, I'm going to get too attached and then I won't be able to say no, or I won't be able to, you know, let that pet go to its new home. And it is definitely, you know, something that happens. We can become heartbroken when, especially if a pet has been with you for a long time.
Yes.
We had a couple dogs who were with us for almost 18 months. And that was very hard. I mean, like those were the pets where I was like, oh, should we keep this one? Like, should it go to its new home? And both of those pets ended up in just the most amazing homes. One of them, he managed to be kind of a diabetic alert dog and like woke his mom up in the middle of the night from like a dangerously low diabetic low. And he was never trained on that. It just was, you know, kind of a, I don't even know how to say it, but it was very special. We'll say that. It was very special.
That's serendipitous. Yes.
Yes. And then our other foster dog who was with us for a long time, I just knew he needed to go to a home with children. He just loved kids. And
is that the one I wanted?
Maybe. No, that was a different one. No, that was a different one. But he also went to a home with kids and he's been doing very well. He's fitting in very well with their other dog and with their kids.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that's what I hear from those is people are afraid of getting attached because they know that they're going to give their heart to a pet because our pets are so good at worming their way into our hearts and into our souls. And so they're afraid of what it's going to look like when they have to, you know, give that pet to a new family. And most of the times that we have fostered, I would say most rescues have some form of, you know, community group, like a Facebook group, or they allow you to be in contact with those forever families. And so, you know, we'll get pictures occasionally, or I'll follow them on Facebook or on Instagram. And so I'll get to see what that new life is like. And, you know, all of those pets that we've helped have had absolutely amazing lives. And I couldn't have given that to every single pet. No, because I can't have 15 dogs in my house, including my own dogs that I've had over the years. And so it's just, you get to be that stepping stone. We happen to foster a lot of puppies because my old dog is a bit of a jerk. And so he does not like other adult dogs coming into his home, but he's okay with puppies. He loves puppies.
That's really interesting.
Yes. And so we fostered a lot of puppies over the years. And so it's just, it's so rewarding to know that the skills that we've taught them and, you know, we helped them be brave and we helped them learn new things and they got to take that into their new home and their new home just absolutely adores them. There's no better gift, I think, than to give somebody the gift of a pet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I fostered neonatal kittens and for a little while we thought about keeping two of them and then we were relocated with the military and we were both like, it would never have worked in our next house. Like this house that we're in, it would never have worked. It worked in that other house. You know, we got pregnant and that wasn't really in the plans either. So like your life does change. So having that foster, I did have that, the set of cats that I was going to keep, I had for a year and they ended up going to friends of ours. So like, they're still, like you said, like in the family, in the circle.
Yes.
One of the things that I personally have a concern about is how much work are these pets? Like, are you able to say to the rescue, like, listen, I can take like an adult dog that's potty trained. I can't do like potty training. Are you able to kind of give the rescue you're working with some kind of boundaries?
That's a really good question. And it depends on the rescue. So some rescues say, hey, we don't know a lot about these dogs or these cats before we get them. Because for example, I used to foster with the pit rescue. And so we got a lot of dogs from areas that had, you know, kind of an overabundance of pit bulls. And a lot of times they were in shelters and they were in like high euthanasia rate shelters. And so the way that a pet is in a shelter is not how they're going to be in a home. And you can't get a great picture of their personality sometimes because the behaviors they're displaying in a shelter may or may not be influenced by it, high stress, noise, you know, all of those things. And so I will say it depends. So for our pit rescue, it was very much, hey, we're going to get this dog and you're going to just have to commit to it. And, you know, we're going to figure it out. We have support. We can help you out. But you really did have to kind of commit to that dog for its time that it was with you. Other rescues are more flexible because maybe they're getting dogs from other situations. Some people don't know that there are breed specific rescues out there. So if you are a lover, like I said, I got beagles right now. I've kind of fallen in love with beagles. If you really want to rescue just beagles or just Pomeranians or just, you know, what labs, whatever that thing is, you know, they might be being surrendered from homes. And so you might have a better idea of kind of what that dog's personality is or things like that. So I would say it depends. And that's a really good question. You know, there are so many rescues out there that just really need volunteers. And so you can interview them. You can ask them questions and say, hey, these are what my, you know, what my stipulations are, or this is what I can or can't do. Are you willing to work with me on this? Some might not. And that's okay. You just got to find the one that fits best for you. And I will say kind of your comment there about having those kittens for a while, you know, that's another great way, another great reason I'll say to be a foster is you can say, hey, I've got some life stuff coming up. And I know I can foster somebody for the next year or the next couple months. And that can be a great way to have a pet in your life without that long-term commitment to say like, hey, I know that I'm going to be moving in a year. I might not be able to have a pet-friendly place in my new town. Maybe I should just foster for a while. Or maybe you've lost a pet and you're not quite ready to commit to a new pet or finding that new forever pet. Fostering might be a really good way to kind of test the waters, see if you're ready for that new pet. Or just, again, make that kind of short-term commitment. There's so many ways to be involved.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that you talked about having lost a pet and not being ready for the next pet, because we are going to cover all that you do for those that have lost a pet, those of us who want to support people in our lives who've lost a pet, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to take a break right now. When we come back, I will tell you all about Morgan's project, her heart project, I think I would say, Memory Flame, and what it's all about.
We all have those moments where our dog has done something kind of frustrating, or we just love them so much and we wish we could talk to them and tell them how much we adore them. Well, recently I found out that we can. I learned about a company called Regal AI that builds AI agents for brands, and they have built an AI dog hotline that is crazy fun. When I heard about it, I initially thought it might be robotic or slow to respond or cheesy, but they have the 15 most common breeds in the US on their site with a phone number. And I was legit able to have a full conversation that felt like talking to the perfect French bulldog, if he or she could speak, of course. If you're interested in trying the dog hotline, go to regal.ai/dog, scroll down and pick your dog's breed, or use the fetcher at the top. And prepare to be amazed. I have no idea how they knew what Pierre's personality was, but it was spot on. So fun. If you want to talk to Pierre, just try it out. Call 608-384-0974. We're going to call now just so you can hear it for yourself.
Bonjour. I'm your French bulldog. I'm so excited to be speaking human. I can't believe it. I took a nap and then woke up and now all of a sudden I'm speaking to you. It's so crazy. It must be crazy for you too. Anyway, can you tell me what my name is? The name that you call me.
Your name is Pierre.
Ah, that's right. I love the name Pierre and how it sounds when you say it. Speaking of sound, what have you always wanted to tell me now that we can chat?
I love your sweet little face.
Oh, how sweet of you to say. I love when you scratch my ears and give me cuddles. Speaking of love, have you ever wondered why I make those funny snorts when I'm excited?
Of course!
Really? That's so intriguing. It's like my own little symphony of joy. Do you know if there are gourmet snacks that match my artistic vibe? I shall create a masterpiece of flavors.
Of course there are!
Oh, how delightful. Did I see you holding a snack earlier? I'm just wondering if it's something I can taste test for you. That would be such a gourmet collaboration.
Yes, let's have chocolate croissants.
Oh, chocolate croissants. They sound absolutely divine. But are they okay for me to munch on too? If not, can we share something scrumptious that's dog-friendly? Life is best enjoyed with a cozy spot, gourmet snack, and someone to scratch behind the ears. Wouldn't you agree?
You're right, Pierre. Chocolate is not safe for dogs. Let's do French fries instead.
Oh, French fries. That sounds heavenly, especially if they have that crispy edge. Can we have some warm cuddles and enjoy them together? I'm dreaming of the crunch right now.
Of course. Do you want mayonnaise or no mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise? That's a curious choice. I've never tried it. Is it savory like your belly rubbed or just something to dip my paw in? Either way, I think snacking together will be a masterpiece.
We'll dip the French fries in the mayonnaise. You're gonna love it.
Oh, I can hardly wait. That sounds like a delicious experience. Oh, I've been talking too much again. Time to dream of croissants and sunny naps. Call me back anytime and ask me any questions you want. Can't wait to chat again soon. Au revoir.
Au revoir, Pierre. I'm actually pretty impressed. I'm impressed he told me that chocolate's not safe. After I said it, I was like, oh no, I probably need to say something different. But he corrected me, which is perfect.
As you can imagine, Regal AI builds AI agents for all kinds of businesses. If you want to learn more about what Regal AI can do for you or a friend's business, check them out at regal.ai. You can also try out any of the 15 dog breed hotlines yourself for free at regal.ai/dog. Regal has done hundreds of millions of calls where the AI has wowed customers. And today's experience with Pierre was no exception.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Rada, and today I'm speaking to my personal friend and fellow pet business owner. She is a busy lady. Her name is Morgan Weber. She is the founder of Lucky Pup Adventures. She is the founder of Memory Flame, and she's the host of Lucky Pup Podcast. So I want to focus on one thing that I think on my audience would really enjoy talking about. And it's sympathy gifts. Yes. Sympathy gifts when somebody loses a pet. It's why you started what you started, which we're going to dig into. But before we do that, assuming that we all are going to learn about your specific sympathy gifts, I want to play a game with you that's called Pet Sympathy. Yay or nay. So I'm going to give you a few options on what somebody might give as a sympathy gift. I'm just going to pull them out of, you know, thin air. And you're going to tell me if you think that was a pretty good idea or if, you know, tread with caution kind of thing. Okay.
Perfect. I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. Flowers, cut flowers.
Absolutely. I would say unless they've got like a allergy or something and they don't want flowers. Also remember, cats can't have lilies. So no lilies in homes that have cats. That's my caveat.
Absolutely. Okay. A framed photo of the pet or of the pet and the owner.
This is one of my favorite, as a pet sitter, one of my favorite gifts to give is a framed photo of their pet because you can never go wrong with something as, you know, personalized as a photo of their pet. Yeah, absolutely.
A wind chime in honor of their pet.
Yeah, I think wind chimes can be beautiful because it's another way to remember them. As the wind is blowing, you're going to hear those chimes. And it's a really good way to remember that your pet is always with you.
I used to give jewelry, like a little from Etsy, a little paw with a little initial or something. What do you think about that?
I've got my little paw print necklace on right now. So I'm a believer. I also have a ring with one of my dog's ashes in it, which I know for some people might be a little, you know, a little too much, but I love it. And it's like personalized for her. So it had like the color of her fur. I had like a little piece of metal flake put in that reminds me of her. So yeah, I'm on board with anything personalized.
Okay. A plant, like a potted plant that you're meant to keep alive in honor of your pet.
You know, that can be a hard one because I have talked to some folks who they maybe don't have the best green thumb or, you know, life was kind of overwhelming and then the plant died and then they feel a level of like guilt that they let their plant that's like in memory of that person or that pet die. And that can be kind of hard for people. So if they love plants, I would say go for it. But if they are not a green thumb, that might be one to kind of skip on.
Agreed. 100% agree on that one. And then the last one is one that I've been receiving. I've gotten a couple of these little rocks for your garden. I feel like that might be a safer option than the plant if you're not sure about their green thumb.
Well, I love that you say that because I had, I've got a tortoise, but we also had a tortoise who passed away. And I my employee actually gave me this little rock with a little tortoise painted on it and her name. So yeah, I think, again, anything personalized, anything special. I think a lot of times we get caught up in trying to find the perfect gift or saying the perfect words. And it's more important just to show up. Show up your authentic self, something that you think is going to be special for them. And, you know, even if it's just writing a note card saying, this really sucks and I'm thinking of you, that can mean more than, you know, kind of agonizing over the right thing to gift and then you don't do anything. So it's better to do something than to do nothing.
Okay, so what is like the latest I can send a sympathy gift if life gets crazy and is it bad to do it too soon? Is it bad to do it too late? Tell me timing.
Yeah, again, there's no right or wrong answer here. There's a lot of misbelief over this idea that if I send something and it's not in the first couple weeks, I'm going to remind that person of that loved one or that pet that they've lost. And I'm going to bring up all these bad feelings. And so I just shouldn't do it. But the studies show that people grieve significant losses in their life for 9 to 18 months. And, you know, we can all think of our own pets and how special they are to us. And this idea that, you know, after a couple of weeks, like their impact in our life is going to go away. And that's just not true. They're going to be with us forever. So it's never too late to tell somebody, you know, hey, I've been thinking about you a lot lately. And I just really wanted to send you, you know, fill in the blank gift. Or I was really thinking about you and I wanted to send you this note. That's going to mean more to somebody. You can't be too late. You know, you can always tell somebody that you're thinking of them.
Absolutely. I agree. And acknowledging the fact that life has gotten crazy and you didn't send it when you would have hoped is enough, right? Like you can just start your little note card with, I'm so sorry it took me so long to send this. It's been on my mind and life got in the way, but here this is. And like you said, this sucks. And, you know, losing a pet sucks. And I can't imagine how hard it has been on you. And I love you. And I'm thinking of you, you know, whatever the case may be. So, or like, you know, just I think of your pet often. I loved, you know, when I slept over and he slept in the bed with me or whatever. Because it's never too late as long as you acknowledge it, I feel like. If you just like send it like 18 months later and like there's no note, they're going to be like, what is this?
But yeah, always send a note. Always include a note. And, you know, I've done things where, you know, again, life gets in the way and things, you know, get kind of behind. And it's okay, too, to just say, I've been thinking about you lately. Like, you're on my mind lately. And I was thinking about Buster and I just really loved Buster's ears. And, you know, I saw this dog in the park who made me think of Buster. And so I just really wanted to send this over to you. You know, there's definitely ways to send a gift late that aren't, you know, that make you feel bad about sending a late gift.
Yeah, like, it's okay. It's random or
exactly
like silly. Like a lot of us feel like we have to be perfect all the time, especially around these like sensitive topics. But nobody's perfect. And if they're close enough to you that you want to celebrate the life of their pet and the love they shared, then they should understand that, you know, like your life's crazy, but it doesn't mean I don't love you and that I'm not thinking about you. So is there something that I feel like people go to that you've seen? Is it flowers that like people kind of like default to? And is, you know, what do you think about doing that? Like, I know you said flowers are good, but what do they say? What does it say that like everybody sends flowers?
Yeah, I think flowers are this thing that we just automatically associate with grief and with loss and with death, right? You go to a funeral and there's flowers everywhere. And I think it's just one of those things that is automatic that we just, you know, it's like we don't say facial tissue, we say Kleenex, right? Like they're just automatically paired together. But I think one of the downsides about flowers is they disappear, right? They're only here for maybe a week or so, and then they're done as well. And so it's nice to maybe give something that can last a little bit longer. There's nothing wrong with flowers. I love flowers. I love receiving flowers, but they do have a limited time span. And, you know, for maybe how much you've spent on flowers, especially if you're going to spend on delivery, you're going to spend, you know, your time of going to pick them up and delivering them. You know, there's a lot of things there that you could be spending that same amount of money on a personalized gift that can also make a really big impact. So it's one of those things where it's not a bad thing, but also, you know, I love giving something. As a pet sitter, we've given, you know, framed photos, we give our memory flame candles, and we see those things on their memorial shelf years later, you know. And so there is something to be said about an item that is going to be a memorial type item, kind of like a you know, a long lasting remembrance item that's going to make a really big impact for a long time. And especially I think with flowers, or, you know, if somebody loses a person in their life, people show up in those first couple weeks. And then a lot of that support disappears. And so if you can give something that's going to hang around for longer, again, like a framed photo, a handwritten note that they might put on their fridge, or they might put next to, you know, that pet's ashes or their collar, you know, those are the things that are really going to show how much you cared for more than just those, you know, that first week or that those couple of weeks. Like that, those are things that are going to stick around for a long time.
Yes, I actually hang on to the cards that my veterinarian gives us because it's a very small practice. She knows our pets very well. We've been going to her for many years. And she has everybody on the team, which is like four people, sign something, and they always relate it back to the pet and an experience they had with them. And I always keep that because it brings a smile to my face, you know, what the funny things they say, like, my husband insisted that Radar was a Jindo mix, but he was a Pomeranian straight through, like always. And the first time my veterinarian saw Radar, she walks in and goes, "He's the nicest Pomeranian I've ever met." And my husband and I bust out laughing because I was like, "You see, he's a Pomeranian. Even the vet says so." And so the first thing she wrote in the memorial letter, you know, like the sympathy card, was, "He was the most wonderful Pomeranian I ever had the joy to get to know." And, you know, it's like an inside joke. So it's really special and it always makes me smile. So I agree with you. I love when people send things that are long lasting. I also do something that I feel like people may not do, which I buy myself a remembrance gift. For us, it has been wind chimes. So the first time I lost my pet, I got, you know, like an engraved one from Etsy that was expensive. And then I lost so many pets since that we've kind of gone to like maybe Home Goods and found one there, or found one on a trip. And each wind chime, we have them all together in our patio, and they are all kind of near each other. And every time, and each one represents a pet that has passed. So I think that a lot of people expect others to get them remembrance gifts, but can you tell us why it's important for us to show us ourselves that kind of gesture?
Absolutely. So if folks are watching, if they got their video on behind me, I've actually got this memory tree. And so these are all, every tag on here is to represent a pet that has passed away from our pet sitting business. And so my employee started this for herself, and I thought it was so beautiful. And so I took it for the whole business as well. And so it's important to remember those that we have lost, because it is a way of getting that grief and that sadness outside of us and put kind of, I like to say, it's like putting our grief down for a minute. And if we don't allow ourselves to grieve, if we don't allow ourselves to process through those feelings, we're going to hold on to them, and they actually become somatic, which means they will start to affect our digestion. They'll start to affect how we sleep. They'll start to affect our burnout, all of these things. And so we do really need to process our own grief. But how I got started with memory flame candles is over my shoulder here. This is Olive. Again, if you have your camera on. And Olive came to us as about a 3-week-old puppy, where she had literally been put in a bag of garbage and dumped in a parking lot. And an acquaintance of ours found her, and she ended up with us. And about 2 years old, well, I would even say about a year and a half, I could tell that something wasn't right with Olive. I knew that she was starting, her behavior was starting to change, her personality was starting to change. And it just got to be very clear to me that We're going to have to say goodbye to Olive at some point because of all of these changes. She had no quality of life left. She just wasn't enjoying anything. So when she was about 2.5, this was in the middle of COVID. So you add, you know, COVID pressures as a small business owner on top of all of this. We chose behavioral euthanasia for her, and it was the most heartbreaking thing I ever had to do. But I also knew that I was giving Olive peace and a gift because she didn't have that. So as I was feeling so incredibly sad and trying to find ways to feel better, I stumbled upon somebody who said, well, you know, I light a candle every time I'm thinking of my pet who's passed away. And I will be honest, I thought it was a load of hooey. Because I am not a woo-woo person. Like, I am not a kind of person who's like, well, I'm going to light this candle and, you know, it's going to do whatever. And I was like, what, you know, I am desperate to find a way to feel better. So I'm just going to do this. And I could not believe the comfort that it gave me. Again, this idea of just kind of putting my grief down for a minute, and I would just light my candle and I would just watch the flame dancing. And it felt like Olive was with me again. And it was just very special. And so we started to gift candles to our pet sitting clients when their pets passed away. And it didn't take me very long to realize how impactful of a gift that was. And then I realized I could help other pet sitters or other people as well. And so we started Memory Flame. And all of our language is very generic, right? I won't say generic. I want to say universal, because we just refer to loved ones. So it could be a pet that's passed away. It could be a person that's passed away. I had a college friend who gifted a candle to her friend who lost a pregnancy. I mean, there's so many things that are involved with a loved one and wanting to remember. And so, yeah, that's how we got started. And it just really, again, it felt like I was just putting my grief down. And every time I lit my candle, it felt lighter and lighter. And it was really a way to kind of process through her not being here anymore. Because especially when it's a pet, you are, you're with that pet all the time, every day. You know, their happiness depends on you. You know, their caregiving depends on you. It's a very familial relationship. And it's often a relationship too that's disenfranchised or, you know, just really not talked about. And so it became something that was just very special to me. And I just knew that I could help others, and especially other pet sitters, honor that relationship forward to their own clients.
Absolutely. As a professional pet sitter, I used to give a framed photo, and it was hard because, you know, you're running the business and you're doing all the things, and then you don't want it to go too long, but you also can't stop and do, you know, we had a lot of clients. So we had a lot of unfortunate passings, and some that we expected, some that we didn't. And so it was hard to get organized, that part of, you know, the expression of our grief and their, you know, our sympathy for their loss organized. So having somebody that, you know, you can go online and ship it out online and ship it out. That's such a helpful thing, because that was the hardest part for me. It's not only get the photo, frame it, package it, send it to the post office. As a small business owner, that was a lot. And I wanted to do it. It is. I wanted to do it, but it was so hard to, it was so hard to sustain. So it's amazing that you're doing this. And I'm not a pet sitting business owner anymore, but I do. Whenever I hear of somebody losing a pet, I go straight to Memory Flame. I know you, I know the feeling behind it. I know the story behind it. And I know that people really appreciate a candle. And I love that you thought of everything. You've thought about the card that you write, that on, you know, the client, on the customer's behalf, you verify to make sure that the addresses are right during the process so that it gets to the right place. You also have some additional affirmation cards if somebody wants to add that. And most importantly, you offer candles, real candles, and you offer the flameless candles for those yes. that have children or allergies or cats that swat flames. You know, you don't want to do any of that. So you have the two options, which is so nice. I mean, I love candles, but my kid is asthmatic. So like, yes. I will light a candle during the day when he's not home, and I have air purifiers. So by the time he gets here, it's kind of gone. But I love the flameless candles, and I love that they have like a beautiful, you know, label on them. You've done such a great job. Is there something that you are going to think about adding to your collection or anything else that you're kind of brainstorming?
Yeah. So it's definitely something I've thought of, and I am a person who loves ideas, and like new things excite me. And yeah, so when we The thing I love the most, I'll say first, about the memory flame candles is that we do, like you said, you can go online, you can order them. We make shipping so easy. But also my favorite thing about it is we gift wrap the candle before we send it. So it's not like, you know, an Amazon gift where it shows up in the Amazon packaging and it's just kind of slapped together. And then there's a note, but they don't know who it's from. I think we've all received a gift like that before. And so I wanted this to be different. So we gift wrap it. Like you said, we get the person's sympathies. We handwrite them out and we sign your name. So your client or your friend or whoever knows exactly who that candle's coming from. But yeah, one thing I've thought about doing, and we'll see if this ever comes to fruition or not, is creating like a bucket list, you know, package. So it's a way to help people, kind of encourage people to make those special memories with their pet before that pet is gone.
Yes.
And I've really, so our first dog, Casey, so I got my wall of pets back here. She's up at the top there, my golden Casey. We found out that she had lymphoma and we had about 4 to 6 weeks before she passed away. And so we really tried to like pack as much as we could into that time frame. But also I thought to myself, well, gosh, what could we have done if we had prioritized a bucket list way of living? Like not just at the end, not just those last few weeks, but for ourselves and for our pets, just like this way of living that really embraces life and embraces adventure and really making those memories, because life is short and we never know what's going to happen or, you know, when life is going to change. Like you said, we've had those pets where things just happen, you know, like you wake up one day and something has changed and you don't have always that gift of time at the end. And so, yeah, living life in a way that you don't have to have those regrets at the end of, man, I really wish I would have done this, or I really wish we could have done that together. So, yeah. So maybe someday we'll have some bucket list living, you know,
journal
or cards or something. I don't know what it might be, but, you know, at least the encouragement.
Yeah. What's funny is I kind of knew that Titan, my beloved Titan, the soul dog, who we said goodbye to last January, I did kind of like a bucket list thing. But I would have, I just, you know, you're in the midst of anticipatory grief. And so you're not, like, every time you look at them, you're not looking at them with happiness. You're looking at them with that grief already, because they're still here, but you know they're not going to be long. So something that kind of gets you, that just helps you just go through a list that you don't have to come up with yourself, sounds like it would be really healing and would remind you of things you want to do that maybe later you forget. So like with Socks, when she passed away, she was so sick at the end that she didn't really have that big meal and she couldn't go for her last walk. Titan did, because we were very intentional about not waiting too long. So we didn't want to wait too long until he wasn't able to do those things. So there's a part of me that wants that. And like, you know, to include like the quality of life scale in there, and kind of like, you know, helping people prepare for the inevitable. There are no products out there like that. And I think that's a great idea, because I would have loved it. I mean, you know, when your big dog hits 15, you're like, oh my gosh, we had a quinceañera for him, but you knew that heartbreak was like on the horizon. And so that would be really nice to be like, okay, I know something is terrible's coming, but let's do something to celebrate. And we had friends over to celebrate him. We made sure all the kids dropped hot dogs on the floor the whole time. Like, oh, we did all the things. But you know, I'm sure there was a lot of other things we could have done that I just wasn't mentally or emotionally able to think about. So, so tell us, how can my audience learn more about all that you do? So those that are in South Dakota, what service areas do you cover, and Memory Flame and your podcast? Tell us everything.
Yes. Okay. So our pet sitting services, we cover Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So actually I'll say Sioux Falls, Brandon, we go into T and Harrisburg, so kind of those outlying communities as well, but we'll call it the Sioux Falls metro area. And then Memory Flame, you can find us, our website and our Instagram and social media handles are the same. It's memoryflame.co. And so you can find us there. You can put an order in online. I try to share a lot of things on the Memory Flame page that's very encouraging about grief and kind of the reasons why you need to show up for other people and kind of encouragement on how to do that. So if you want to learn more about grief, I kind of post things like that there. And then, yeah, my podcast. So the Lucky Pup Podcast, you can find us luckypuppod.com, or maybe it's luckypuppodcast.com. I don't know. Search either one. You'll find us. And then on Instagram, it's Lucky Pup Pod. So you can find us there. And I love chatting with other business owners. And we're really talking about big ideas around business. So we're talking about, you know, your branding and, you know, kind of the financials and really these kind of bigger ideas that also kind of revolve around burnout, because I am a huge burnout advocate as a pet sitter. I see way too much burnout in our industry. And it's just something that I'm really passionate about. Again, it goes back to Olive. And Olive really taught me that there is more to life than just work. And that we really need to fully enjoy life. And we have to do that for ourselves. Like, other pet sitters out there are making huge sacrifices to help other people live their full and happy lives. And we need to make sure we do that for ourselves as well. So that's what we're talking about over on the Lucky Pup Podcast.
Amazing. Well, I just want to propose a toast to you for being my friend, for being so wonderful, and for all that you do for the pet lovers in the world. I really think you have such a big heart, and I'm so happy that you made time to chat with us today. Cheers. Well,
thank you so much, Isabel. I really appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. And to our audience for joining us for these awesome conversations. I hope that you got something great out of this, whether it's about an interest in fostering or just having a plan for any time that your friend or loved one has a loss in their life. I really do love Memory Flame. I think you do such a good job. So thank you so much. Here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers.
Cheers.
To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.